get your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis 25. As we begin today's lecture on Jacob. Today's lecture on the man, Jacob. Okay, mom and dad are whom?
Isaac and Rebecca.
Okay? And once again, we have a scenario whereby Rebecca can't get pregnant. Okay? It is a struggle. Finally, God opens her womb in a miraculous way. And instead of one, there are
two.
There are two. And so Jacob's brother is
Esau.
That's right. So we've got Isaac and Rebecca. There's no indication that Isaac marries anyone else, like dad. And we're not even sure how interested Isaac was in marriage, quite frankly. What are some of the indications, perhaps, that Isaac wasn't pursuing marriage? Can anyone think of an indication that Isaac wasn't pursuing marriage? Yeah, right, exactly. That's a valid consideration right there, that Abraham had to send a servant to go get this guy a bride. And so Rebecca is pregnant. Verse 19, chapter 25. Katie, why don't you start reading there? Verse 19, chapter 25. You, okay. Closest to the mic.
And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger."
Okay, this is an interesting scenario. The older shall serve the younger. Is that normative?
No.
No, not at all. And what does it mean by entreated the Lord? What is that?
Talk to.
What else?
Inquire.
Anything more than that? Can someone give me another word, perhaps? Begged, pleaded, prayed to, that type of scenario. Okay, so her days were fulfilled. That means 9 months is up. Indeed, there were twins in her womb. Verse 25, first one out, red. He was a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. So remember, Esau equals what?
Hairy garment.
All right, very good. And Jacob, let's read the text. After his brother came out, and the hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So 20 years of marriage before she gets pregnant. Y'all tracking that? 40 years when they get married. 60 years old is when she has them. Two boys come out. First one is whom?
Esau.
Because Jacob has his hand on the heel of Esau as they come out. And then that's how he gets his name. Now, the boys grow up. Esau, in verse 27, was a what?
A hunter,
a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in his tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. All right, what kind of scenario is developing here?
Favoritism,
rivalry, right, exactly. And we're going to classify, for the sake of discussion, Jacob as a mama's boy. And we know about mama's boys. These are the ones that are always clinging on the aprons of mom. And that's a problem. And that's this boy right here. Why does the dad, Isaac, like Esau?
He's
a hunter.
He likes his food. It's
manly.
Yeah, it's manly. It's clearly manly. What else does it bring?
Food.
What else does it bring? It brings food, but do they already have food?
Yeah. Yes. It would bring a good name to their family.
Yeah, they raise sheep, they raise goats, they got meat. But what does he enjoy? The venison, the variety, the different meats. So this creates some favoritism. Now we're going to deal with this birthright issue. Now this is huge. What's the birthright?
Kind of like inheritance.
Inheritance, okay, that's fine. Make sure you understand that concept. And who's going to get the most?
The oldest.
Esau, the oldest, the firstborn, is going to get the most. It's not like today. It's not a 50-50 split. The firstborn gets the bulk. And it's just sorry on you that you weren't the firstborn. So then we have a significant contention that occurs between Jacob and Esau. And Kyrie, you have your Bible?
Yes, sir.
So read 29 through the end of the chapter.
Yes, sir. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint," and therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Tell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of linen tiles. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
All right, what's going on here? I mean, is Esau really ready to die? I mean, is he really at the moment of death if he doesn't get food?
No.
Okay. You have a question, or are you going to answer the question?
Answer the question.
All right, go ahead and answer it.
He came back from the field, and he was, like, really hungry. So Jacob saw that opportunity and said, "If you want food, sell me your birthright."
Okay, but what are we getting a sense from Esau about the birthright?
He doesn't really care about it.
Yeah, he doesn't see it as valuable. He doesn't see it as valuable. Now, what is the birthright?
Inheriting land.
Right, but let's even be more specific.
Possessions.
What had God given Abraham and what had God given Isaac?
A promised land.
He gave him what? A promise. Let's remind ourselves of what that promise is. Can you, right now, on your piece of paper, can you write down the four things of the promise without any hints? Can you write them down? Because you're going to have to do it for the test at the end of the quarter. So can you identify right now the four aspects of the promise? Because God gave it to Abraham, and God gave it to Isaac, and we would assume now that God would give it to who?
Esau,
of course, because he's the firstborn. So what were the four things? What do you have written down, Justin?
Land, descendants, name, and blessing.
Right. Those are the four components. Make sure that you know them. Make sure that you check your paper right now. Make sure you've got those down. So I'm going to make you a great name. Prosperity. We're going to be talking about who you are. I'm going to give you a chunk of land. I'm going to give you children. And I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. And so God gave it to Abraham. God gave it to Isaac. And now we expect that Esau will want that same blessing from God. That same covenant promise. But instead, does he see it as a priority to receive that?
No.
In fact, he so despises it that he's willing to sell it for what?
Stew.
Yeah, some stew. Some stew. Evidently, he sees that part of this promise means that he's going to have to settle down and have family and raise children and that on a chunk of land. And what do we see about his character? What would he rather be doing?
Out there hunting.
Right, exactly. So he doesn't see this as a priority. He's not interested at being home. He's not interested in that. Jacob evidently does see it that way, and that perhaps is the influence of his mom. All right, so let's look now at this scenario in verse 26. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines in Gerar. But the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you. I'm going to bless you, your descendants. I will give you all these lands. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, to your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. So Isaac remains in place. Chapter 27, turn there please. So they continue living. No more children, to the best of our knowledge. Kyrie, pick it up again in verse 27, beginning at verse 1. I'll tell you when to stop.
Yes, sir. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold now, I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make my savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard this when Isaac spake unto Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and I will make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids and goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau is my brother, and is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And then his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me then. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took godly raiment of her oldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids on the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat to the bread and the bread, which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn, and I have done according to as thou had badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, for if thou be my very son of Esau or not. And Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and felt him, and said, Thy voice is of Jacob's voice, but thy hands are of the hands of Esau. And he disconcerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother Esau's hands so blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and that I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he did drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come now here, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God gave thee of dew and heaven, and the fathers of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be every one that has blessed thee.
All right, good, stop. So we got some unbelievable deception going on here, beyond measure. Everybody's lying to finagle this entire thing. And yet somehow God, in his sovereignty, takes this amazing sin and turns it into what? His plan. Blessing. Now we see the exact same thing later on, where and when. We're talking about God's sovereign ability to take deception and to take sin and turn it into something good.
Joseph.
Yeah, we're going to see that in Joseph, but I want to go to the grander scale. You see it with Esther? Where Israel does, that's a chart. Israel's huge. I'm talking about individual cases. Where do we see the most amazing display of God's ability to take deception and sin and turn it into something good? We see it with Christ. Christ, folks. You should have ran there with Christ. All kinds of deception. The Jews lie about Christ. They lie about Christ. How do they lie about Christ? They say that he said this. They say that he said this. They were lying. They were deceivers. Ultimate deceivers. Jesus said that you are of your father, the devil. He lied from the beginning. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. So this deception thing right here, this Rebecca deceiving him, Jacob deceiving him, everybody deceiving, is not acceptable. This is not okay. But this is God's amazing ability to take sin and still do something good with it. We're going to see it with Joseph in particular. What happens now? Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, reading verse 30, that Esau his brother came back, and he made that savory food, and he brought to his father, and said, "Let my father now rise, eat my son's game, show him, bless me." And he said, "Who are you?" I'm Esau." Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate of it before me, and I blessed him, and Esau has a fit." Because he realizes, I've stolen my birthright, and I lost the blessing. It's done. What does this do to Jacob and Esau's relationship?
It
only shatters it. It completely shatters it, and for the most part, Esau moves out of the picture. Chapter 28, verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to the same place." So remember, this is the same place where he got his wife, Padan Aram, to the house of Bethel, your mother's father. Take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, multiply you, that you may be the assembled peoples, give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away and went to Bethel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. We're talking, of course, about Laban. Now a little bit about Esau marrying somebody. And now let's go to verse number 10, because we're focused on Jacob. Now Jacob went to Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was sent up to the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of the God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendants. And also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and south. And in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven." So we have every single patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all having a personal encounter with God in which they get the confirmation of the blessing. Let's go to chapter 29. Chapter 29 is where Jacob is going to meet the woman of his dreams. Her name, of course, is
Rachel.
Rebecca is Isaac. Let's see, separate that. Justin, can you read this, please, beginning of verse 1, chapter 29?
I don't have my
Okay, grab that one right there from 9.
29?
Verse 1.
And Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well, and behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she knew she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, and Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flocks of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house, and he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month.
Alright, good. Tyree, pick it up.
And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me not? Tell me what thy wages will be. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. And
what a poetic statement there, ladies. Did you read that? Don't miss that now. Jillian, that's what you want your husband to think about you, okay? Read that verse again. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days. Why did it seem only a few days?
Because he had so much love.
Yes.
Love flooded the room.
You didn't realize your Bible was such a romantic book, did you? And that's poetry right there, man. Guys, that's what you tell your wife, man. You're sending her those love notes, man. That's kind of stuff you write. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just giving you all some help.
That's the only thing she can go for.
You can compliment her, though. Found something that you can compliment her on, though.
Hi, your eyes are pretty.
You guys are harsh. All right, so verse 21. Ms. Brewer, pick it up. Verse 21, very quickly.
And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto him. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zipla, his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me?
All right, so let's stop right there. We got to deal with this. This is kind of odd. This is really strange. Okay, so somewhere along the transition, evidently we must assume that there was some alcohol being consumed. Okay?
What?
Okay, why am I saying that? Anybody
didn't
notice?
Didn't notice?
Yeah. Right. So you can be sure in the ceremony, whatever they did, it was not Leah. Okay, it was not Leah. But that wasn't the consummation of the marriage. The consummation of the marriage, young people, was the intimacy that would take place. So evidently there's a ceremony, and then they start partying. This is only reasonable. And then it's now time to consummate the marriage. And evidently, Jacob is so drunk that he can't even tell who he's sleeping with until the morning when he wakes up. And it's a shock. And he is livid. He's livid.
Yeah.
And of course, he's rip-roaring mad. And he goes and finds Laban. And what's the question he asks?
Why did you trick me?
Yeah. Now, what is the lesson that we want to extract from this?
Do not consume alcohol.
Okay.
You idiot.
It's a little bit more than that.
I hear you answering.
Okay. What has happened here? Ah, there we go. Now we've got somebody in the class that's thinking. All right, listen, please. You're going to have to explain this in an essay in a week. Okay, the 24th is the end of the quarter, so we're right around the corner. The trickster has been tricked.
I don't understand.
You don't understand?
No, sir. What? When did
he first saw?
Read about it, but he doesn't comprehend it. He just reads words. The trickster has been tricked. The deceiver has been deceived. How does the Bible describe this? What phrase do we find in the New Testament that best describes this?
Do unto others as
you reap what you sow. If your essay does not include that phrase, you will not get credit. You reap what you sow. The Bible says very clearly, be sure your sins will find you out. So the fact that God used the sin of Rebekah and Jacob to sovereignly orchestrate his plan does not mean that Jacob gets a bye. It doesn't mean that it's okay. It's still what? Sin. It was still sin. Did God use it? Absolutely. Was it God's intent to bless Jacob? Yes. So God has the ability to sovereignly use sin to accomplish his purposes. The greatest example of that is Judas Iscariot and the Son of God. That's the greatest example of that. But that doesn't mean that Judas Iscariot gets a bye. Jacob doesn't get a bye here. He worked for 7 years for the woman of his dreams. And then at the night of his marriage, because I presume, the text doesn't say it, but I don't think a sober man would sleep with somebody he didn't know. That's just my assumption. And there's no indication that there's any drugs in that day, so the only thing that we can assume is that in the partying of the marriage, like Noah getting drunk, you lose your sensibilities. And suddenly you realize that a switcheroo happens. And the trickster has been tricked. He is livid. Kyrie, begin reading now with verse 26, please.
Yes, sir. And Laban said, "It must not be done. It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the services which thou hast served with me yet another 7 years." And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, and his handmaid to be mate.
Alright, so, okay, good, stop, right there. So we've got Laban now saying some cockamamie story about in our country, that they can't have this scenario, so you just can't have to accept it. And he finagles 7 more years of free labor out of this young man. And remember, he has daughters. There's no indication he has boys. So he really is benefiting from having a young man here that's overseeing and doing all this work. And he gets 14 free years of labor out of him. Remember, the week is 7 years. Let's make sure we write down in our notes who we have now for wives for Jacob. We've got Leah. We've got Zilpah. That's Z-I-L-P-A-H. Because remember, she's the handmaid for Leah. We come down and receive Rachel. And then we have Bilhah. B-I-L-H-A-H. So we have four wives for Jacob. Those four women are going to produce the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah, it's in your Bible. Yeah, are you looking with me? It's verse 24. Z-I-L-P-A-H. You see it there? And then in verse number 29, Kyrie.
So when a man marries a woman in this time, he also gets the handmaid as
his
wife?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because the handmaid is going to be with her for the rest of her life, and so she'll not have another husband, and so he takes care of whatever physical needs she has. Okay? So we have four wives, and immediately a contention occurs. Verse 31. Who can do 31? Sal, can you do it loud so they can hear it on the recording?
Yeah. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me.
All right, so you can just imagine what's going on here. We're at 7 years of marriage, and we get Leah. But who's he in love with?
Rachel.
He's in love with Rachel. Okay? He's in love with Rachel. And Leah is probably pretty well bothered at this point because she's hooked up with a guy who doesn't love her. Imagine this, ladies. Wouldn't be a very favorable situation. And Rachel, is she there in the household? Sure. And so, you know, late night conversations, he's hanging out with Rachel. And he just tolerates Leah. Unfortunately. So how does God show his immense love for Leah? What's he do? Yeah, gives her a child. So now, what's going to happen? He's not married to Rachel yet. Leah's got a child. And so, you gave me a son. You gave me a child. And his name is who?
Reuben.
So he's the firstborn. I always remember this because Reuben is a great corned beef sandwich with sauerkraut and spicy mustard on pumpernickel bread. Whatever you need, just remember, Reuben is the firstborn. Reuben's the firstborn, and his mom's Leah.
So Jacob didn't love Leah, yet he had a child with her.
Sure. Because men have physical desires, Kyrie, and he's willing to enjoy that. Oh. Bottom line. Okay? But the companionship and the love and the affection goes to Rachel. These guys are real men. They're normal men like us. They're not choir boys. They're who they are. And while he may not have found her as the most attractive, she was acceptable for certain activities. 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and because the Lord had heard that I am unloved. Okay? He has therefore given me this son also, and she named his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son. Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. There's a real dilemma here. She's bothered. What does she want?
Love.
The love of her husband. She wants the love of her husband. We've got dysfunctional family going on here. Therefore his name was called Levi. So she's got four sons. Let's go over them, please. Reuben,
Simeon,
Levi. Therefore, she called the fourth one Judah. Okay? So the four sons, record their names now. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. It's a big deal. Because remember, she picks up the firstborn son. She picks up the Levites, which were the what?
The priest,
and she picks up Judah, which is the largest of the tribes, and the one with whom who will come from later on? Christ will. And David, King David, and then Christ. So, in spite of the fact that she's not the most attractive, in spite of the fact that Jacob doesn't love her, she still is amazingly used by God. She's the mother of the firstborn, the mother of the largest tribe, and the tribe that the kingly descendants will come from. She's the mother of the priesthood. Aaron, the first high priest, you remember that? The Levites, the Levitical priesthood.
Wow.
It's a big deal.
got pretty eyes.
And she has beautiful eyes. Chapter 30, verse 1. Tyrus, read it, please.
30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel invited her sister...
No. Try it again.
And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel invited her sister...
No, it's not invited.
Oh, envied.
Envied. She envied. That's the key word in the sentence. She envied her sister, continue.
And said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld me from the fruit of thy womb?
Okay, so stop. Is there a real conflict here? Ladies, can you imagine how this is feeling right now? Ladies, can you get into the narrative just a little bit and see what's going on here? And is there any chance the issue's with him? No. He's already produced four boys. So how is she feeling? How is she feeling? Useless. Distraught. So what if she's beautiful? She hasn't produced any children whatsoever. Verse 3. Kyrie again, please.
And she said, behold, my maid Bilhar, and go unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, and that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhar, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went unto her. And Bilhar conceived, and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhar, Rachel's maid, conceived again, and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she said, call his name Naphtali.
Okay.
And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife.
And you see this intercompetition that's going on here? You see the dynamic? These are real people. This is a real competition going on here.
All right,
here, take my maid, okay? Leah says, well, if you can do that, me too. Here, she brings her maid forward. Okay, this is a dysfunctional scenario. Okay, let's continue reading, please. Can you contain yourself, please? All right, verse 9. Leah saw that she'd stopped bearing. So she brings Zilpah forward. Leah said, a troop comes, so she called his name Gad. Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Leah said, I'm happy for the daughter's will, call me blessed. And she named him Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat, the harvest of found. Okay, do we notice something here yet? What hasn't happened?
Rachel.
That's right, Rachel still has not had a son yet. We've yet to have Rachel having a son. And she's not going to be okay with the handmaid having it. Let's pick up, please, down at verse number 19. Yeah, Jacob, pick that up. 19, please.
And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob the sixth son.
A sixth son. Leah has six of the sons. Get it? So the test question is going to be, of the four wives, who has... the majority of them, and it's going to be who?
Leah
said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulon, and afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name
Dinah.
All right, you're going to have to know that. There's only one daughter in the story, and that's her.
That's great.
Verse 22, Katie Brewer.
And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and God said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came...
Okay, good. So, we finally get Joseph. Okay? Joseph is born. He is the 11th son. He's the 11th son. We're at number 11 now. And why the name Joseph? What does the name Joseph mean?
May the Lord bring the son.
No, no, that's not what it means. Look at the previous verse.
Though God has taken away my reproach.
God has taken away my reproach. Now let me teach you something for just a minute before the bell rings. When we get into the life of Joseph, we're going to see that Joseph is an amazing type of Christ. When we say a type of Christ, what do we mean by that expression?
Like a
picture of Christ. We're going to see lots of things in Joseph's life like Christ-like. Now what does Joseph mean? What does the name Joseph mean?
God has
taken away reproach. Taken away reproach. Think about the cross and the idea of taking away reproach. Alright, verse 25. It came to pass when Rachel was born Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own country, so I'm tired of living with my father-in-law. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served, and let me go, for I know my service which I have done for you. Laban said, please stay. Laban doesn't want this guy going. He's got women there, he's got his grandbabies there, and he's got Jacob in charge of the herd. Laban said, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by my experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Now, why is Jacob getting blessed? Why is Jacob getting blessed?
Years of service.
Now, why is Jacob getting blessed?
He was promised.
Because he was promised to get blessed. Why is Laban getting blessed?
Because he's blessing Jacob, which means he can
bless. Right. He is receiving the spillover blessing, if you can. So does he want him to go away?
No.
No. Because he knows I'm reaping some serious benefits from having Jacob in my house. I'm a wealthier man because of Jacob's presence. And if you leave, that blessing is going to go with you. So Laban wants him to do what?
Stay.
And so he says, name your wages and I will give it to you. So Jacob said, you know how I've served you and how your livestock with me these years. For what before I came was little has been increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when I also shall provide for my own house. So he said, what am I going to give you in verse 31? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today, and removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, all the brown ones among the lambs, the spotted, the speckled from the goats, and these shall be my wages. Now again, he's going to trick them. Get ready to trick them. Because he's asking for the spotted ones and the speckled ones. Those aren't the premium ones. The premium ones are the ones that aren't that way. So he goes through. Of course, Laban is going to say, sure, you can take the spotted ones. You can take the speckled ones. Let's continue reading. So my righteousness will answer for me for my time to come. When the subject of my ways comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. So they're going to come up with an agreement that from now on, I'm going to continue working for you, but from now on, I'll have the speckled and spotted ones, and you'll have the pure ones. He's going to begin breeding those. God's going to bless him, and that part of the herd is going to explode in growth. And that's what we're going to see that happens. Laban says in verse 34, oh, that it were according to your word. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white on it, and all the brown ones. See what's happening here? Then he put 3 days' journey between him and himself. And Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar, almond, chestnut, peeled white strips in them, exposed the white from which the rods. So he's telling them this particular way he's going to do it. The rods which he peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, the waters through the troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, spotted, and Jacob separated the lambs, made the flocks face toward the streak, put all the brown in the flock. See what he's doing here? He's setting apart those that are his. Verse 43. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and maid servants, and camels and donkeys. So he gets larger and larger and larger. God is blessing him. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. So Laban does have some sons. I said something incorrect. Maybe he had them later on after the daughters. So now the sons are concerned about this. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him. So now we get another contention occurring between who? Jacob and Laban, and more particular, Laban's who?
Sons.
Right, because they've got to have an inheritance. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field and his flock and said unto them, I see your father's countenance is not favorable towards me. And so they plan a getaway. They plan a getaway. We got to get out of here. Something's going to happen right here. Laban pursues after Jacob. Laban pursues after Jacob. And they finally settle their differences. In the rest of chapter 31, there's a covenant made or an agreement between Jacob and Laban, and there's a significant separation that occurs. We'll pick up with chapter 32 tomorrow.